coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the second letter of Peter. The first letter of Peter was addressed to Christians spread throughout Asia Minor. Those Christians were suffering persecution. Peter assured them of God's grace in the midst of trials. The addresses of the second letter of Peter are not explicitly mentioned, but they must have been the same. It seems that Peter preached to and worked with the recipients of his letter. Peter wrote the second letter toward the end of his life. He does not say where he was when he wrote this letter, but the consensus seems to be that he wrote from prison in Rome, where he was facing imminent death. So the year the letter was written must have been around the years 67 and 68 AD. What was the purpose of Peter to write the second letter? In the first letter, Peter feeds Christ's sheep by instructing them how to deal with persecution from outside the church. In the second letter, he teaches them how to deal with false teachers and evildoers who have come into the church. Peter warns the readers against false teachers who promoted sinful lifestyles and questioned whether Jesus would return in judgment. The opening words of the letter are found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The author of the letter identifies himself, Simeon Peter. Simeon is the same as Simon. Simon was the apostle's original Hebrew name. Jesus gave him a second name, Peter. Who is Simon Peter? He is a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Servant literally means slave. In this case, one belonging to Jesus who had purchased him. He is also an apostle of Jesus Christ, that is, a man sent with the full authority of the sender to announce the gospel. Who are the recipients of the letter? Those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. These are probably the same people addressed in the first letter, Christians throughout Asia Minor. Those Christians had obtained faith through the work of the Holy Spirit. The faith of those Christians was the same faith the apostle had. Peter says that their faith was of equal standing with ours. He places himself on the same level with the readers, an attitude of humbleness. Peter wishes that grace and peace be multiplied to the readers. Nowadays, people commonly wish good luck to others. In contrast, Peter places his Christian friends under God's grace, God's undeserved favor, and under God's peace obtained by the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Those Christians also needed, as we do, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This knowledge is a godly knowing that involves fearing, loving, and trusting in God above all things for the gift of eternal life in Christ. This knowledge comes to us through studying and hearing God's Word. Following the words of introduction, we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Through Holy Scriptures we acquire knowledge of God, who He is, what He does for us, and what He gives us. God's Holy Spirit works through the Word to call us to faith, giving us the knowledge that results in eternal life and that fosters our life and conduct in Christ. God is the giver of all things that pertain to life and godliness, says the Apostle. God may not give everything we want, but He does give everything we need for this life and for the life to come. Among the things God gives to us are His precious and very great promises. Many of these promises have been fulfilled already, including the promise to send the Messiah, the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus for the atonement of our sins and for our eternal salvation. Precious and very great are the promises that are being fulfilled day after day in our lives, as Jesus constantly forgives us our sins, gives us the company of His Holy Spirit, keeps us in the faith, and provides for all our needs. Precious and very great are the promises of Jesus to return one day, and then to call us out from our graves, restore us to life, and grant us life never-ending. Already now we are by God's grace partakers of the divine nature. That means that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Furthermore, Christ has set us free from corruption or moral depravity caused by our sinful nature and our sinful desires. This is a beautiful picture the Apostle Peter placed before the eyes of the readers of his letter. This picture also shows to us in graphic colors what God has given to us and what He continually works for us and in us. In the sequence of his letter, Peter writes in chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so short-sighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. In these verses, the Apostle shows the virtues or fruits produced in Christian life. After all, faith is active and productive. The new and regenerated life of a Christian expresses itself outwardly in attitudes, words, and deeds. The virtues listed in these statements stand in sharp contrast to the characteristics of false teachers who pervert the way of truth and deny the heart of the Christian hope. Peter encourages Christians to make every effort to supplement their faith with virtue. God gives through His Word the will and the strength to us Christians to make progress in our godly lives. Faith is the root of the Christian life. Faith is not dormant, but is awake, alive, and active. Faith is accompanied by virtue or goodness. Virtue goes hand in hand with knowledge, that is, understanding, correct insight obtained through the study of God's Word. Knowledge is accompanied by self-control, particularly self-control of one's emotions, impulses, and desires. Self-control goes hand in hand with steadfastness, that is, patience or perseverance in the midst of difficult circumstances. Steadfastness is accompanied by godliness, that is, a genuine reverence and respect owed to God and His Word. Godliness goes hand in hand with brotherly affection, that is, kindness in the relationship with fellow believers. Finally, brotherly affection is accompanied by love, that is, selfless, outgoing attitude that leads a person to sacrifice for the good of others. These qualities are to be ever increasing, lest we become like a branch that does not bear fruit, or like seed that is choked out by thorns. Peter does not mean that a Christian is to cultivate each listed quality in turn, one after the other, until all have been perfected. Instead, they are all to be cultivated simultaneously. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love are essential to a Christian, so much so that Peter says that whoever lacks these qualities is so short-sighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Those who close their eyes to Christ and who willfully look away from practicing these qualities eventually become spiritually blind. In their blindness, those persons have forgotten what Christ has done for them in baptism and have turned their back to Christ. The Apostle Peter persists in encouraging the readers of his letter in the Christian life. He writes in chapter 1, verses 10 to 15. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. We note in these statements a great effort of Peter in doing whatever he can to assure, to encourage, and to guide the readers of his letter. Peter is aware that his life is drawing near to the end. He says, I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. As a prisoner advanced in age, according to the patterns of those days, Peter expected to be put to death soon. Somehow the Lord revealed this to him. Peter employed the means available to make sure that after his departure, the recipients of his letter would be able at any time to recall God's teachings. The means he had available was to write letters. That is what he did, to perpetuate God's teachings, not only for the people of his time, but also for us and the future generations. Peter reminded the readers of his letter, whom he called brothers, of some basic points. First, he says, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Before the creation of the world, God chose us to be his own. As believers continue diligently in the virtues described earlier, they avoid the sins and complications of life that cause idle people to stumble. Peter states, if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. This does not mean that those who cultivate these virtues will never sin, but that they will not fall away from the path that leads to Christ's kingdom. For this very reason, the apostle reminds persistently the believers of these qualities, although they knew them and were established in the truth. The same applies to us. God has chosen us for salvation. He has given us faith, and faith produces fruits. However, we need constantly to be reminded of God's grace and encouraged to live out the Christian faith, This is why it is so important to read Holy Scriptures, to attend Bible studies and divine services. Peter explains why he is absolutely convinced of the truth concerning what he is writing. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The contents that Peter and all other authors of Scripture registered are not cleverly devised myths. Peter defends himself against the false teacher's charge that he and the other apostles invented stories about Jesus' coming and the final judgment. Peter's message is based on his eyewitness account of the supernatural events that marked the life of Jesus. The apostle gives the example of what he, James, and John witnessed when Jesus was transfigured. They were there with Jesus. On the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw Jesus in glory and majesty. They heard the voice of God the Father confirming that Jesus is his beloved Son. They received a foretaste of what Jesus' coming will be like when he returns to establish his eternal kingdom. Apart from he being an eyewitness of Jesus' transfiguration, Peter also calls into consideration the prophetic word, that is, the Old Testament scriptures, which confirm the entire apostolic witness of Christ. Peter's eyewitness account of the transfiguration is trustworthy because it rests on the authority of the Old Testament prophecy. This prophetic word is like a lamp shining in a dark place. Until the Lord comes on the last day, the prophetic word guides and directs God's people like a light shining in the darkness. You will do well to pay attention to this word, advises the apostle. Indeed, we do well to pay attention to reflect on, and to take in what Scripture teaches. Peter reinforces the fact that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. The authors of the books of the Bible wrote not what they thought or interpreted of the time, but what God inspired them to write for their time and all of time. Peter goes on saying, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." In contrast to false teachings, genuine prophecy is never of human design, desire, or origin. The Scriptures are of divine origin, as the Holy Spirit personally inspired each of the authors, in accord with their own style, to write only the words that God had given them. This is to say, Holy Scriptures are God's word. Consequently, Holy Scriptures express the truth. They are trustworthy as God Himself is trustworthy. Thanks be to God for having preserved the Scriptures and made them available to us. Thanks be to God for revealing in the Scriptures Jesus Christ, the Savior. We do well to pay attention to the teachings of the Scriptures. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.